Welcome to the God Took Me to Las Vegas podcast. I'm your host, Randy Mortensen. This is a weekly 25 to 30 minute program where we provide answers for your I don't know how. Whether you're dealing with recovery issues, maybe emotions from a loss, or life has just thrown you one more curveball than you were expecting, I'm so glad that you're here. Today, I'm going to share some of the information that I'm gathering as I prepare to do my TEDx talk later in 2023. So I hope this information is beneficial to you. And it's always good to see that we do have people joining this broadcast from literally coast to coast here in North America. And I think at last count, we actually had listeners and viewers from 40, it's either 40 or 41 countries. So thank you for taking time from your busy schedules to actually listen or to watch, depending upon which platform you're watching or listening to this on. If you see a chat box or a subscribe button, please leave us comments. If you're on our Facebook page, you can post comments and any thoughts there. We hugely value any and all feedback that you're willing to give us. We want this to be encouraging. We want this to truly make an impact on the listeners and the viewers from around the globe. Later in the show, I will talk more about the 21-point assessment that you can find on the front page of my personal website. That is randymortensen.com. That's Randy, last name Mortensen, Mortensen.com. And what that assessment is it's a tool to determine whether you or a loved one qualifies for one of my programs called the Lifestyle Champion Cohort. So as I mentioned today, I'm going to be sharing with you some of the information that I've pulled together in preparation for doing the TEDx talk later this year. So as I've been looking at the information, as I've been comparing statistics, it's really just further confirming the notion and why I'm so passionate as an influencer on a mission to crush the stigma. What's that stigma, you might ask? Well, I want to crush the stigma that's surrounding mental health and substance abuse. I've got a very deep-rooted belief that mental health-related challenges are not a sign of weakness, but rather a common human experience. I'm dedicated to raising awareness and promoting conversations in all business sectors and in our faith communities. Why? I want to save lives and restore relationships. Some people say, well, Randy, you're a recognized figure in corporate America. Well, I'm fortunate to be a former VP of the $60 billion gas and electric utility in the upper Midwest. And I've been fortunate to serve in leadership roles literally around the globe with involvement in the Caribbean, in South America, and also more recently, even in Portugal. So yes, I'm recognized in business sectors, and I've been fortunate to serve in leadership roles in the faith communities. But what it's really about, in my eyes, is breaking down the barriers and showing leaders how they can provide support for individuals. Many of these may be their employees, or it could be colleagues. It's hard to say. I want them to drop the barriers that are not allowing them to provide support for those who are struggling with compulsive and destructive behaviors. Others that have known me for a few years will say, you know what, Randy has a powerful message of hope and a relentless drive to make a positive impact. They will also go on to say that he's a force to be reckoned with, and he's in this battle against mental health stigma and the stigma against substance abuse. Most of you that have listened to at least one episode of this podcast know that my sobriety journey of now more than 32 years actually began in Las Vegas. That's why the title of the new name of this podcast is God Took Me to Las Vegas. Why? God took me to Las Vegas to get sober. Do you know that last year, more than 295 people died on average of overdoses each day? 295 Americans died from overdoses each day. This doesn't include any alcohol-related deaths. It's costing our economy more than $92 billion annually in lost productivity. Crushing the stigma of substance abuse and mental health challenges is necessary in order to save the lives, in order to restore relationships. Those relationships could be marriages. They could be parental relationships. It could be neighborly relationships. The goal is really to restore any of those relationships that are so vitally important to establishing true communities where we all live. Saving lives and restoring relationships is necessary to bring about awareness about stigma. I want to crush the stigma that's surrounding substance abuse, the stigma that's surrounding some of the mental health challenges that guys and girls are having. As I mentioned, the 295 deaths per day means that in 2021, more than 107,622 Americans died from overdose. If you do that math, that's an average of 12 people dying per hour each day. Those who are dying are sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, and moms and dads of people who love them. Why is this so vitally important to me? Why is this my, quote, big idea? Well, for those of you who know me, you know that the hurt and pain that I went through was because an emergency room physician who had worked 36 hours straight without even a moment's sleep, who was high on crack cocaine, he miscalculated the dosage of potassium while they were preparing my 5-year-old son for an emergency appendectomy. His poor choices that Sunday afternoon caused an overdose and killed my precious son that afternoon, that day. And what I say often is my poor choices cost me cost me millions of dollars and numerous relationships. But the poor choices that emergency room physician that afternoon cost me my son. And I don't ever want another parent to suffer that sort of a loss. Out of 44 million Americans with substance abuse disorders, the National Survey on Drug Use and Health revealed that only 1.4 million received treatment in 2021. I would say that few people receiving treatment was primarily due to stigma, the fear of being labeled or losing relationships and even jeopardizing their jobs is what prevents many from seeking help. Society's negative attitude toward some substance abuse is more prevalent than toward mental illness. So there's negative attitudes towards both, but it's really the substance abuse that has the most negative attitude. We must combat the stigma and provide support to those that are in need. My mission of ending the crisis involves business leaders and community leaders. And we must bring awareness about substance abuse and mental health challenges in order to bring the stigma out of the shadows. I'm on a mission to create a culture of support that offers team members assistant programs and providing education and training to those leaders, because this is what will help address the problems before they cause issues in more and more workplaces across this great country. I'm also looking for companies and organizations, nonprofits, faith communities to partner with community resources that are available so they can support employees, team members who are struggling with substance abuse and mental wellness. I want them to partner with treatment centers, with recovery programs, and with support groups. We also have an opportunity to create a culture of support through open communication, reduced stigma, and making people aware of resources for employees in need. So as we think through some of these opportunities to make an impact on the lives of people that are in our networks, I want to make you aware that next month I'm launching another 8-week program that I call the Lifestyle Champion Cohort. We use Zoom technology to do the 90-minute weekly meetings. The first 30 minutes of each of those meetings together is teaching. And during that teaching, what I cover are the three phases of this 8-week program. Phase one is evaluate. I mentioned the 21-point assessment that's on the front page of my website. That will show you whether you're a mild, moderate, or severe case of substance abuse. Mild or moderate, you're a good fit for my program. If you're severe, then I have a network of connections of providers literally across this continent. Please don't wait another day to seek help. For more information, get into our release database. You can text CHAMPION to 66866, CHAMPION to 66866. To see if you qualify, go to my website, randymorenson.com, download the 21-point assessment. By participating on this broadcast, if you just mention LCC, Lima Charlie Charlie, when enrolling, that will give you a 50% discount from regular pricing. So back to some of the why in my world. Well, I want to save lives. And in order to do that, we must dismantle the stigma that's at the very intersection of drug use, alcohol abuse, meth use. You know, the fentanyl pandemic is causing just almost seemingly countless deaths. So we must dismantle that stigma. I use crushing. Dismantle is certainly another adjective that works. We are on a mission to end the drug crisis, to bring addiction out of the shadows. Here's another shocking statistic that I just came across is pregnant people with substance use disorders need treatment. And too often there's criminalization instead of treatment. Hear what I'm saying there. We're seeing that the court system, judicial system, police system, whatever you want to call it, is criminalizing that lady who's battling substance use, and she needs treatment, not criminalization. At the very end of all of this is we really need to overcome stigma. And as we're overcoming stigma, we're going to end discrimination. Overcoming stigma, ending discrimination is what's vitally important. So I mentioned a bit ago about what American companies are doing to crush the stigma of substance abuse in the workplace. So I just want to give you a couple of bullet points on opportunities where companies can actually derive benefit from addressing addictions in the workplace. They can derive benefit from helping that guy or gal who's battling compulsive and destructive behaviors without stigmatizing or ostracizing them. There are quite a few companies, the companies that are doing this are growing in numbers, who are incorporating drug and alcohol awareness into their EAPs. What's an EAP, you might be saying? Well, it's their employee assistance program. Why are they doing this? They're doing it because they realize that they want their employees to be able to address problems before they cause major issues in the workplace. many companies are taking steps to address the stigma of substance abuse in the workplace. Here's just a handful of examples. How are they doing this? First, they're providing education and training. Companies are providing this education and training to their employees to help them recognize the signs of substance abuse and how to respond if they suspect that a colleague is struggling. This includes information on resources that are available for treatment and support. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, there's a lot of community resources that people just have lack of awareness of. The second way that American companies are taking steps is offering employee assistance programs, as I mentioned a minute ago. The EAPs provide, quote, confidential counseling, okay? So there's not widespread awareness. The EAPs provide confidential counseling and support to employees who are dealing with substance abuse or dealing with mental health challenges. Many companies have implemented EAPs. It's merely a matter of expanding those EAPs that are part of their employee benefits package. The third way that companies are actually addressing these challenges, they're creating a culture of support. Companies are working to create a culture of support and understanding around substance abuse, around mental health issues. This might include promoting open communication, reducing stigma, and, as mentioned a bit ago, providing resources and support for employees who need it. Essentially, it's creating a safe environment where they're not being judged. There's not that fear of what if they find out. So those are the first three. The fourth is many companies are implementing drug testing policies. I don't know whether this is increased or decreased with the pandemic. I honestly don't know that statistic. I should have that in my information flow here. But many companies will have drug testing policies, and the positive aspect of that is it will help identify employees who may be struggling with substance abuse. You know, in that sort of a policy implementation, penalizing them for a failed UA would not be a positive move. However, what these policies are included in may be a pre-employment drug testing or a random drug testing or a post-accident drug testing, because in those sorts of scenarios, certainly you don't want one employee's poor choices endangering the health and well-being or the safety of others. So implementing drug testing policies can have very positive effects and can encourage those who are struggling to get the help that they so need. Okay. The fifth area where companies are expanding is as I mentioned before, they're partnering with community resources. You have HR leaders, human resource leaders now that are looking to come alongside community organizations. They're looking for those resources that do provide support and treatment for their employees who may be struggling with substance abuse, or for their employees that may need some marital counseling, their employees that may need just some psychological guidance. So what's happening as these companies in organizations are looking to engage with community resources, they're establishing partnerships with local treatment centers or partnerships with recovery programs, whether those be faith-based or just the traditional 12-step programs. And it's really helping to grow the engagement and in creating that safe environment that so many people in the workplace are looking for. Overall, American companies are recognizing the importance of addressing substance abuse in the workplace. And many of them, not enough yet, but many of them are taking steps to create a supportive and understanding environment for those who are struggling. This is the very reason that I'm so passionate about wanting to do this TEDx talk in 2023. I want to get the word out. I want to deliver a powerful message as to here's the how we can do this. In the United States, we all know there's millions of individuals who struggle with addiction to drugs or alcohol. Shockingly, only a fraction of these individuals receive the vital treatment they need to overcome these compulsive destructive behaviors. In 2021, the National Survey on Drug Use and Health reported that out of 44.1 million Americans with substance abuse disorder, a mere 1.4 million actually received treatment. Why? Primarily due to stigma. Very seldom do I hear that it's cost holding them back or anything else. It's fear, which is brought on by the stigma. There's also the fear of being labeled, or maybe the fear of losing relationships, or that concern about whether they'll still have their job after seeking help. That's all of these areas: being labeled, losing relationships, potentially losing a job, is what's preventing many from seeking help. Society's negative attitude towards some substance abuse is really more prevalent than it is towards mental illness. I will say mental illness still has stigma, just not to the extent that we say stigma when it comes to drinking, boozing, and just whatever those pornography is becoming a major problem. Two, it's imperative that we combat this stigma because we want to provide support to those in need. As I've said a couple of times, the stigma surrounding addiction is a significant contributor to the alarming statistics, the 295 people overdosing dying a day. Many people fear seeking help is going to lead to negative labels. It's going to lead to negative attitudes. It's going to lead toward damaged relationships. Folks, these things are so widespread that it's just costing us billions and billions of dollars on an annual basis. I want to crush the stigma and save lives because these statistics are not getting any better. If you know someone who's struggling today, or if you're that person who's battling a compulsive destructive behavior, please don't wait another day to seek help. You can reach out to me. My office number is 321-757-HOPE, 321-757-HOPE, or call someone you know and trust. Those who are dying are husbands, wives, sons, and daughters of somebody who loves them. Today's the day. I helped a gentleman just a few days ago get into a detox program. I was blessed to be connected with him through our Quest 180 recovery program. He said, Randy, you've saved my life. And I'm not doing it for that sort of recognition. I'm doing it because I know the loss of losing a dad. I know the loss of losing a son. And so I just want to do whatever I can do to help you, to help your loved ones, to help your colleagues. And that's why I'm sharing this information with you today. I hope you found this information helpful. It's just such a blessing for me to express my gratitude towards this, the podcast producer, the executive producer of this podcast, Ludia. She does an awesome job of pulling these episodes together. So thank you, Ludia, for the powerful, passionate, professional work that you do to make the impact that we do with this podcast. You can look for the replay of God Took Me to Las Vegas podcast, formerly known as Courageous Recovery Podcast, on all the usual online outlets like Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many, many more. Thank you for taking time out of your crazy busy schedules to listen to this information today. Have a blessed day and be extraordinary today.